so high right now. Anything's possible. I'm on mama. I'm on my lady, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainer J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. Yeah. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, whatever it is that you're doing right now, wherever you're going, or wherever you might be watching this on YouTube. I do appreciate you doing so. I'm John Corrales. I cover this team for Boston Sports Journal, which you can subscribe to right now. I think it's worth the subscription. I've also written a book. It's called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. If you're watching on YouTube, that's my book right there. You can buy it wherever you get your books, or on the 29th, this Thursday, I'm going to be doing a book signing at The Unlikely Story. It's a bookstore here in Plainville, Massachusetts. That is, if you know the guy who did Diary of a Wimpy Kid, it's his bookstore. And if you buy it between now and the book signing, you can have it personalized and sent to you. So please do that as well. I'm coming to you after a Boston Celtics loss to the Charlotte Hornets, 125-104, might be the most disappointing loss of the season. This show is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. I'm not even going to talk about the Brooklyn game. I don't want to get into that. This game is enough. So what I'm going to do in segment one here is focus just on the game. And segment two, I'll be talking about Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and their direct, like the things that they could have done differently. And then I'll try to end on some good stuff. That there were good things that happened in this game. Not many, but there were a couple. But I got to start with the bad stuff because that's most of the game. And then it continued after the game because the Atlanta Hawks beat the Milwaukee Bucks down 10 in the fourth quarter. They came back. Lou Williams went nuts. They came back. They beat the Bucks. And so now Atlanta and New York are tied for fourth. They're now two games ahead of the Celtics. So a very rough weekend. The Celtics losing to Brooklyn, losing to Charlotte, and losing games in the standings. Now, the Brooklyn loss, I didn't think too much of it. As I was looking at the schedule, splitting the games between Phoenix and Brooklyn was a win for the Celtics. I didn't really think much. Even though the Celtics had an opportunity, they were really shorthanded. They didn't have Jaylen. They didn't have Kemba. They were shorthanded. They're on a back-to-back. They looked tired. They had a ton of turnovers. Again, that was something that I was like, fine, just that one I was willing to look past. This one, as I said before, it doesn't get more disappointing than this loss, I don't think, because I think this was an important game. It's a team that they were facing, that they could be facing in the playoffs. It's a team that's challenging them for playoff positioning. And it was an opportunity to win a tiebreaker and to put some distance between them and stay up to speed here, stay close to the Hawks, who just continue to win. They didn't have Trae Young and they continue to win. So the Celtics have to keep pace, and not doing so, losing this game was just, you know, when they say, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. And you know how that's worse? That's what this feeling is. Just really disappointed that these guys didn't see the urgency and kind of treated this as a blow-off game. Charlotte won every quarter In the first three quarters, they scored at least 30 points. Celtics defense was god awful, just brutal. Now, I did a breakdown on Boston Sports Journal. I did a breakdown to show you all of the defensive breakdowns that the Celtics had in that opening run, which was 28-3 whatever it was there. That whole run was just one mistake after another, after another, after another. They let the Hornets hit 21 threes. I mean, they not only did the Hornets hit 21 threes, they scored 46 points in the paint. So they were getting to the rim and they were hitting threes. And the Celtics didn't give a lot of resistance. And on top of it all, and this is the biggest number of the day, 39 assists on 47 baskets. How do you let a team throw the ball around like that and assist on all but eight of their baskets? All but eight baskets. I've never even heard of this before. There were only eight baskets in this game that weren't assists. They were moving it. They were getting out in transition off of turnovers. They were running off of misses. They did whatever they wanted. This game turned at the end of the third quarter. Celtics in the third quarter were making some progress. And they continued to, like, the game hovered between 9 and 12. That play at the end of the third quarter where Marcus Smart had the ball, had like 6.5 seconds left to go. Marcus Smart got the ball, did get fouled. Like, he kind of got hooked. I didn't see if he did the hooking and then tried to draw the foul or not. But he had an arm hooked and he went up like he was going to shoot, and he tried to throw his arms up so he could, like, accentuate the contact. No call. So it basically goes as a turnover. They come down the other way. Miles Bridges pulls up from 35 feet, nails the three-pointer. Now, instead of getting that foul call, which, if he hit all three free throws, game's a six-point game going into the fourth quarter. Much different. But instead of that, it's a 12-point game going into the fourth quarter. And that was deflating. The Celtics were trying to follow their old path of suck for 2.5 quarters, then play well, and then try to make a run in that fourth quarter. And when that play happened, everything, shoulders slumped. They didn't, you know, they just, it was done. It was over. Disappointing. Just ultimately just disappointing. Up next, one play when it was 2-2 that might have changed the entire course of this game. Right at the beginning of the first quarter, when it was 2-2, there was one play that I think could have changed the entire outlook of this game. That's next. This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you're hiring for your company, then you know that it's difficult and you know it's very hard to get a short list of quality candidates. You need a partner that helps make your life easier, and that's why you need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. You can post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster, and only pay for the candidates that meet your must-have qualifications, and schedule and complete your interviews right there on your Indeed dashboard. With tools like Indeed Instant Match giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description immediately, and Indeed skills tests that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined. So if you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer is valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. I love these things. I love them because they taste delicious. It's like a candy bar. This one here that I'm holding is peanut butter brownie. Now on the podcast, you're going to hear the crinkle, but peanut butter brownie is another great one. Let me read the nutrition facts on here for you because this is what makes the Built Bar great. 180 calories. They've got how many grams of protein in this one? 16 grams of protein in this little bar here. Very low in carbs, very low in sugar, delicious. But if you don't like peanut butter brownie, you can go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You're gonna get 15% off every order that you place. So go check it out. They have these assorted boxes that you can try all the different flavors. If you don't like some, don't order them. But when you go back, you can get whole boxes, multiple boxes, and save every time you stock up with the promo code LOCKED15 at builtbar.com. Make sure you're visiting that site regularly because they're always launching new flavors. They've got them with nuts, without nuts. If you've got an allergy, that's fine. If you're on a keto diet, this is approved, so you can still have these. Tastes like a candy bar covered in chocolate. They're delicious. Promo code is LOCKED15 at builtbar.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. This year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page and watch live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft this week, April 29th through May 1st. All right, so the Celtics lost to the Hornets 125-104, and it was pretty obvious right away what was going to happen here because the Celtics had the breakdowns that started with the main guys. It was Jason Tatum right away getting scored on in the post by Miles Bridges. And a play that I broke down on Boston Sports Journal that I'm looking at right now, that, you know, Kemba Walker doesn't nudge Bridges as he's coming across, and he misses making contact with Bridges on the screen, so he doesn't impede his progress. Jason Tatum's not low in the post. He's not, you know, he doesn't have a good strong base. Doesn't have any of that stuff. He ends up just getting scored on there. There are multiple possessions where Jason Tatum is flat-footed, out of position, not covering the area he's supposed to cover. And it just makes me wonder if he needs a day off. Like he has been playing a lot, and he has to need some time off. And in fact, Brad Stevens did say that he would get a day off coming up here somewhere. But if Tatum's not going to play at 100%, then what's the point of him being out there sometimes? He played 32 minutes in this game, which is less than usual, mostly because he didn't get back in for his normal fourth quarter, end of fourth quarter stint. But they've been using him for 39, 40 minutes. That turnover in the first quarter where he very lazily kind of toss the ball back. Kemba inbounds the ball to him, and he like lazily flips it back. And Terry Rozier just comes sprinting by, steals it, lays it in. Like that was as embarrassing a play as you're going to see out of Jason Tatum. Like it just doesn't make any sense to see how a guy like that can make such bad plays. But that's what he does. That's Jason Tatum over his last four games, 19 turnovers in his last four games. That's insanity that he's having that bad of a stretch. Coming off of a stretch where he was playing superstar level basketball. And this should have been a superstar level game because there was no real shot blocker there impeding his progress. That was tailor-made. In fact, the very first play of the game, when the very first Celtics possession, he got the ball down low and he had a nice move in the lane and he scored. And I thought, here we go. This is a no shot blocker, Tatum gets aggressive kind of game. I thought this was going to be Tatum drops 40 against the Hornets and sits the fourth quarter because the Celtics are up by 30. But no, he kind of got away from that. And the Celtics got away from that. They didn't attack at all. And then the play that I was talking about before was the breakaway. It was 2-2. We're less than a minute into the game. And Tristan Thompson gets blocked. Cody Martin blocks the shot, gets the rebound, and outlets it. Hornets go on a break. And a couple of guys are off to the side. Guys flare out to the corner. So Tatum's off to one side. Smart's off to one side. And Terry Rozier is bringing the ball up. And Kemba Walker is covering Terry Rozier. And as Rozier comes across the free throw line, he dumps it back to Martin, who takes one dribble. He's at the three-point line, takes one dribble, two steps, and lays it in. Now, Kemba is slow to react. And so he doesn't get into Cody Martin's way. But the play that could have changed everything was Jaylen Brown had the opportunity to step in and take a charge. He could have slid in and at least tried to take the charge. And instead, he gives this half-hearted kind of, oh, I'm going to contest. Oh. And it was that set the tone more than anything. Like between that and the Tatum turnover that happened a few plays later, that was it. We should have known from there that this game was not going to go well. But if Jaylen slides in and does actually draw that charge, if you go to Boston Sports Journal, you'll see the play. I have it gift. If he slides in and takes that charge, immediately what happens? The Celtics bench erupts because he has made this big, great play. And the Hornets are upset because, you know, they had this kind of steam rolling and all of a sudden, you know, that was taken away from them. And instead of feeling good, because now they got a layup, they got a stop, they had a big block shot, and they're feeling good about themselves. They're starting to feel really good. And the Celtics are kind of, But if Jaylen slides in and takes that charge, then the emotions flip. It's Charlotte that's frustrated. It's Boston that's happy. Big defensive play, and that sets the tone for the rest of the defense, the rest of the day, that Jaylen can be the guy like, hey, look, I just got steamrolled by Cody Martin to draw that foul, and I'm not happy about being steamrolled here, but I did it. Because we need to win this game. But he didn't. And the more I look at it, the more upset I get over it because he had it. He had it measured. And he just decided to not challenge it. He just decided that I'm going to give up this layup. And that's it. And that's the frustrating part about this game. Because that's one of your best players. That's one of your all-stars. And he has this chance to lead by example and to not let Charlotte get to a point where they're feeling good about themselves and they got hot and they hit their first, what, 6-7 three-pointers. They had a lead out, you know, that 28, forget what it was. It was so bad that it was 23-8 run is what it was. I said 28-3 earlier. I flipped the numbers. 23-8 run, 8 of their first 9 shots. And after that, they started hitting the threes. And the Celtics just weren't... Again, if Jalen had taken that charge, maybe that would have amped up some guys. And maybe they would have played better defense. And maybe they would have come around and made some of the plays instead of watching the ball whiz by them for open threes. When your best players are not giving the effort, the team is not going to give the effort. These guys talk about leading by example all the time. All the time. And when they're not giving it, I don't know how you can expect guys on the bench to give it too. I don't know how you can expect other guys on the team to be happy with, you know, working their asses off. And you know, what am I doing this for? If our two all-stars aren't going to be doing the work, then why am I doing the work? That's what this game was. And it certainly was not just those two guys, but this is how it, when you're this late in the season, at that point, it's 12 games left and you give one away. You just give it away. No effort at all for most of the game, and you punt it. It's disappointing. Like I said before, it's disappointing. Now, the Celtics do have some positives from this game, and still positives for moving forward. It's still not out of the question. It's still not out of the question for these guys. So to get to the fourth seed, amazingly still, but they're out of time. They got to do this now. So I'm going to talk about that next. I don't know what the odds are. I got to check on what the odds are for the Celtics in the fourth seed, but they got a little longer today. And I can go to BetOnline to check them out, because BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You've got the NBA, you've got the NHL, you got baseball, you got soccer, you got sports around the world, and it's all available on BetOnline. You could have even bet the Oscars are going on right now as I'm recording this. You could have bet on the Oscars. Who would be the best actor? Who would be the best movie? You could bet on that on BetOnline. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. So head on over to the website, use your mobile device, whatever you want to do, sign up today, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So if you deposit $100, they'll give you a $50 welcome bonus, because that's how the 50% welcome bonus works. You got to use that promo code Locked On, though, to make sure you get that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. They've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place, the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Have you been checking out the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021? It's presented by Locked On and Odyssey. It featured an analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason LaCanfora, Brian Baldinger. If you missed it, go back and check it out. Every one of our local experts made the picks for their team, trades, picking their next stars. It was a full-on mock draft. Not just, it was like analysis and all of that stuff. It's really, really cool. Search for the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Audacy. I'm going to finish on a positive note, the positive stuff, because I'm a positive guy. I'm generally an optimistic guy. So when I'm disappointed in a team, you know they have to be pretty disappointing. Because I do like to find the good stuff that happened in these games. And there was. I think the third quarter was the most, it gave us the most good stuff from this game. And I got on Jalen for defensive effort in that play at the beginning. But I will say that he did in the third quarter start attacking. I mean, he really did offensively start to carry the team for a while. Attacking against this Hornets team was the way to go. They were small. I mean, yeah, they had Biombo in there, but Biombo is not this elite shot blocker. I mean, he's good. He can be good, but you can challenge him. And like Peyton Pritchard challenged him early on and it worked, drew a foul. You can attack him. You can go at him and he'll make mistakes. So, but the Celtics just didn't want to do that enough. And that's part of the problem with this game, part of the lack of effort in this game, that they had opportunities against Biombo. And then without Biombo in the game, they were very small. They did manage to block a lot of shots. They were athletic, but the Celtics didn't attack enough. They just didn't. But Jaylen Brown did for a while, and that kind of helped keep things close. Marcus Smart had a big stretch in that third quarter, which was good. He scored 10 straight points. He had two threes and four free throws, all in a stretch of just over a minute. So he was personally responsible for a 10-2 Celtics run in that third quarter. Kemba Walker had a big stretch offensively in that third quarter. The Celtics had that opportunity, and again, that play at the end is what really, really turned the game around, because the Celtics were starting to surge, and they had that chance to make a run and get it down to possibly six or seven. Didn't work, but they were there, they had it, and that one play just shot it all down again. Grant Williams. This was a good Grant game. I thought Grant he played within himself a lot more. Didn't try to do too much. That's the big key, right? Don't do too much, Grant. Like he took his open three-pointers. He hit three or four of them. He had not been hitting his three-pointers this month, but here you are. This is the type of game when they leave you open, you got to make them pay. He had a couple of big possessions where he kept possessions alive with offensive rebounds. And that jump ball, like he played well in this game. And when people get on me about Grant, these are the games that I look at and I say, hey, look, he's capable of doing this stuff. He just hasn't done it enough to make people happy. I think that this season has been as up and down a season as you can get for him. But I do think that these games that show his positive impact are the games that you hang your hat on with him and say, I think he can have a long NBA career doing this kind of stuff. Now, obviously, he's not going to hit three or four three-pointers all the time, but he can hit open threes, and everybody that shoots threes, he's going to have a three for four shooting night every once in a while. It all balances out. But I do think that he can go out there and hit one or two threes a night for you. And I do think that he can go out there and play good defense and make these plays, those big offensive rebounding plays that he's made. So I thought Grant was good. And people who are writing Grant off, I get it. I know what you're seeing. I see what you see as well. But he still has so much room to improve, so much time to improve, that I think he's going to be a key piece for the Celtics. And ultimately, I think he might end up being a guy that plays on five or six different teams, because he's not so good that he wouldn't be included in a trade, but he'll be good enough that teams want him in a trade. And so I think he kind of follows the Jay Crowder path a little bit, where, you know, you get him in a trade and you're like, okay, this could help us in a deal. And hopefully, like, I want to keep him because of that. I think he has a place to make good plays and help a team. It's not going to be consistent this year. I know that. So just, it's a long-term thing. So if you're rolling your eyes at me right now, it's a long-term thing. 11 games remaining from the Celtics. Sean Grandy tweeted this out. 6 at home, 5 against the bottom 9 teams in the league, and none against the top 9 teams in the league. The schedule is set up for them. Now, they don't have to go 11-0, but they've really taken away any margin for error. Each loss is magnified, especially these losses against teams that they should beat. And they should beat the Hornets. They should. And they'll have an opportunity for their revenge later this week. They got to play Oklahoma City, and they've got some other very winnable games on the schedule. Fourth seed is still there for them. Now, maybe not. Maybe Atlanta is just playing too well. But you still want to get out of the sixth seed, because I still would rather play Atlanta in the playoffs than Milwaukee, Brooklyn, or Philly. You still want to have a good chance at winning that first round and seeing if something can't go your way and change the dynamic of that second round series. You still want to have an opportunity to get out of that first round. And if the Celtics go up against Brooklyn or Milwaukee or Philly, then that just obviously lessens the chances. Now, I still stand by I like their chances against Philly, but you'd rather see them go through a series and who knows what happens in that series that changes the course of history. But it's right there for them. They just have to give an effort, any effort. Not like this Charlotte game, which was a big pile of crap. It was just a big pile of crap, and it's the most disappointing game of the season. So I'll leave it there. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank people for watching on YouTube. I'm getting the hang of it. I think this audio, my new audio test, I think got things are better. I want to thank Doug Branson, who was the original Locked On Hornets host, ironically enough. Still does Locked On Hornets from time to time, but has moved on to another role in the podcast network. And one of those roles is bailing me out of technical difficulties. And he did that here with me. We figured out a workaround that I think is going to get me better audio quality and still keep the YouTube thing working the way it's supposed to work. So I apologize. I know the audio was rough for a couple of days. Hopefully that has changed. I appreciate you bearing with me as we evolve the show and bring it to a new audience, people on YouTube who don't listen to podcasts but still want Celtics content. Here I am. Suggestions to make the show better are welcome. You can put those in the comments. Obviously, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Rate, review, all of that stuff would be great. Do the same for the podcast. You know, I podcast is my first love, and so I'm very happy that the show is growing, but very loyal to the podcast listeners and all of you who are subscribing to the podcast. I really do thank you for your written reviews and your good 5-star ratings and all of that stuff, and sharing the podcast, telling your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.